into the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker with you. Well, did the icy roads and snow in southern Saskatchewan get you down? Have you had enough talk of the U.S. presidential election? Well, do we have the cure for you? You started here in the Green Zone with a rider update. Britton Gray just got off the phone with him. If you were anxious about all those players who did not participate in practice yesterday, Locker, breathe easy. Breathe easy. Actually, we have a message. We have a message from Aaron Rodgers.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
Almost everybody was back to practice today.
Yeah, maintenance day. We knew that was what was happening.
Yesterday was a maintenance day, so all but Trevor Reed was back for the Rough Riders as they head to Winnipeg, of course, the West Final, and we'll have more on that on the Green Zone this afternoon.
Speaking of maintenance days, he had a handful, and he is back tonight. McDavid, baby!
Woo! McDavid out of the box and to the attack! He'll swing through! Connor McDavid!
So for the morning skate, I saw Skinner, McDavid, Hyman, Pekulsen, Draisaitl, Arvidsson. They're keeping that line together. And I'm like, oh, does that mean? And then on the heels of that, Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, went crazy. And they're like, he's going to be in the game tonight. So they've got a home matchup against the Vegas Knights. That's a 7:30 start if you're in the right time zone. And...
I'm so confused by start times to hockey right now, to be quite honest.
We'll figure it out eventually. Anyway, listen, we're probably going to have numerous conversations over the next little while about McDavid's impact on the team just based on the success they had. What did they finish? What did you guess they were going to be at when McDavid came back?
75% win percentage.
And you were wrong. You were so wrong.
I was one game away. If they won tonight without him, they would have been at 75%. Then he'd be back for the Canucks. He came back early. What is this man made of? They went from 2 to 3 weeks to 7 days.
Anyway, we get to see McDavid, the best player in hockey, playing tonight at home against Vegas.
Also in the NHL, oh, they are red hot.
Stop by Kirkwood, good stop by Hellebuck. Now Sergachev, snapshot into the glove of Connor Hellebuck. Connor snaps it down, Chuckley, Morrissey scores! Nino Niederreiter, right hand scores! Nino Niederreiter with an empty net, and he scores!
Yeah, the Winnipeg Jets did it again. 3-0 win over the Utah Hockey Club last night. They're 12-1. They're on a 4-game winning streak after that one loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They can score 7 goals like they did 2 nights ago, or, you know, shut them out with Connor Hellebuck. They're winning every which way, Locker.
Kyle Connor. I like this. I think a lot of people are starting to watch the Jets and pay attention to them. They're becoming, it was our game of the night yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think they're starting to tune in because this team is getting a lot of chatter based on the fact that they can't lose right now.
They're 12-1. It is unbelievable to watch this Winnipeg Jets team. And it was great to have Kevin Cheveldayoff on the Green Zone yesterday. If you missed it, you can find it on the podcast with Kevin Cheveldayoff, the Winnipeg Jets general manager, joined us yesterday here on the Green Zone.
Every once in a while, you're going to watch a game, whether it's hockey or football or any other sport, and you're going to see something you don't want to see. That happened last night to Dylan Holloway.
There's that puck in the neck, and then he skates down the ice and misses just merely an opportunity there, and everything seems quite normal.
And they have brought the stretcher out.
So in the first period last night, obviously Holloway is now a Blue. He got hit in the neck, but he finished the play. And then he skated off and he was sitting on the bench. And obviously he was in some level of distress. And they had the trainer holding him up. And it took some time to get him sort of settled. And they carted him off to the hospital on a stretcher. Now he is in stable condition. The tough thing about that last night is his family, friends and family were at the game. And so they had to watch that. Yeah.
And it was a puck to the throat. It wasn't a skate to the throat. There was no cut. But clearly, I don't know if it caved something in where he couldn't get a breath. But they were saying it looks like he's trying to catch his breath on the bench. And then it a scary scene last night. And the all the best to Dylan Holloway, the St. Louis Blue, who continues to be alert, stable condition, thankfully.
We'll keep an eye on
after a scary one last night in the NHL. And an injury update in Major League Baseball.
Well, that is not a good sign. You watch him put his left arm down and it either is jammed his shoulder or his wrist. Watch it go down.
Gingerly walks off of the field with the training staff, holding that left arm.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani, after celebrating the World Series with his L.A. Dodger teammates, surgery, a torn labrum in his left shoulder, suffered in the World Series. So another significant injury. Of course, he didn't pitch this year because of injuries to his right arm. Now it's to the left shoulder, banged up. We'll see how long the recovery time is for Shohei Ohtani, but there's an update from that injury. Clearly a significant one, and kind of impressed he finished the World Series with a torn labrum in his left shoulder.
Well, when he was on base a couple of times, because they walked him, I don't think he got a hit after that happened. I'm pretty sure he didn't, actually. You could see him. He was on base, and he was holding, you know, when you have a shoulder injury and you're holding your, you know, your arm for support, right? Yeah, he was dealing with something that last game.
So there's an update on Shohei Ohtani, the L.A. Dodgers star, with a shoulder injury. With one of the toughest phrases in sports broadcasting is having shoulder surgery.
I was gonna say add surgery to it.
Yeah, shoulder surgery is, I rarely ever get that right, but we got a shoulder
surgery.
Say that 10 times fast. There's your challenge for the day. Shohei's shoulder surgery. But we got a banger for a show again for you today here with Jamie and Locker on the Green Zone. Coming up a little bit later this hour, Riker Frank is going to be here, the star running back of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, as they get set for an all-Sasky battle in the Hardy Cup this Saturday at Griffith Stadium. Also joining us is Paul LaPolice. Locker, the former Rider assistant, the former Bomber assistant coach. He breaks down the film on his YouTube page now, and he really took a peek at the Riders' defensive disruptors this week, which is a great conversation we are going to have with Paul LaPolice.
You're going to geek out with him, aren't you?
A little.
It's going to be
bit.
An X and O's show today.
Just for Paul LaPolice. But also, I need to challenge him on, so we need to ask him about what would he do? Silent count for the Riders going into Winnipeg and the Bombers. So we'll get into the coach's perspective of things. We're also, I imagine there might be a little trash talk later, Locker, with one of our guests.
He's a little bit older now, right?
Yeah.
And maybe he's calmed down.
The look I'm giving Locker right now is, come on, there, Troy Westwood has not calmed down. His Twitter account disappeared for some reason. I can only imagine why that was.
Who's asking him that question?
But Troy Westwood, the former Bomber kicker, the man who coined the Banjo Bowl phrase, and let's get the trash talk started. Although Chris Walby might have got it started yesterday on the Green Zone when he joined us, the former Bomber will be here. Britton Gray with an update from Rider practice, and a double take with Double D Daryl Davis here on the Green Zone. Oh, and Locker, another thing we got to get to is the biggest sports fans. As there's a gentleman in Alberta who's finding out he might be too big of a sports fan for the Toronto Maple Leafs liking.
Curtis. Yes, a lot of people in Leafs Nation are aware of this guy. If you're not, it's a quick search on Instagram. Go check out some of his videos. He's hilarious. Anyway, I've been reaching out to him to try to, but I think maybe he's been advised
he's
to not.
He's too big of a fan. He got a cease and desist order from the Toronto Maple Leafs and their beer sponsor. So we're going to ask you, Saskatchewan, do you have any nominees for the biggest Rider fan in the province as they get set for the West Final? Let us know at 1-877-332-8255. But coming up next, day one of Riders practice at Rider Nation. A little anxious over the amount of players who did not participate in yesterday's practice. Was today any better or should we start getting concerned? The latest on the green and white ahead of Saturday's West Final. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, the news is in from Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray today at Rider practice. Day two as they get set for the West Final in Winnipeg. Of course, yesterday, I'm looking at the injury report from yesterday, Locker. Brian Cox Jr. did not participate. Jackson Ford did not participate. You also had Aubrey Miller Jr. did not participate. CJ Revis did not participate. Trevor Reed did not participate. Kian Schaefer-Baker did not participate. Yesterday, fans saw that and went, what is going on? Britton Gray gave me a ring earlier, just before we went on air, and said, okay, pretty much everybody's back out there except for Trevor Reed. We'll get more clarification on the injury report this afternoon.
What happened to Trevor? Do we know? Like, well,
it's a knee injury for okay. Trevor Reed.
All right.
It was unfortunate. But
it happens, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't look like Trevor Reed was back. Well, he wasn't at practice today. That's the only one that's major significance that they could be without for the West Final coming up on Saturday. Of course, we will have Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray on later this afternoon for a full update on the green and white and how they're getting ready for the crowd and the West Final. But by the way, producer Scott, thanks for the text updating us on Dylan Holloway.
Yes.
Some good news.
So he got smoked in the neck with a puck last night in the middle of the game and got stretchered off. And the last that we heard was that he was in stable condition. But he was actually at the rink this morning. So about an hour ago, he was taking questions from reporters and everything seems to be okay. So he must have just been, you know.
Yeah, there's something they went after getting that puck. Got something off anyways.
You could see him hyperventilating almost. Like you were saying that it looked like he was catching his breath. He was doing a little.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, I think it's, you know.
It's good news.
Good news,
thankfully,
right?
For Dylan Holloway, the St. Louis Blues from that scary incident last night. Now, 1-877-332-8255, our Green Zone question of the day. We want to find the biggest Rider fan in Saskatchewan. We need nominees. Who do you know? And of course, with the text line, you can send us photos. If maybe it's you.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Maybe it's you. And you say, look, check out my man cave viewing area, rider room, whatever you want to call it. Let us know. Maybe we'll put you on the list.
Send us a video. We can take videos on the text line as well.
1-877-332-8255. And this becomes a story we're going to dig into later today because the biggest Leaf fan in Western Canada, he's out of Alberta, got a cease and desist from the Toronto Maple Leafs because he was becoming too big, really is the story. He actually was so big he got a beer sponsor which didn't jive with the Toronto Maple Leafs beer sponsor.
So it was, but
you're going to have to shut her down or start drinking Molson, was the story there.
Well, and the irony of it was, because I know Curtis, and I've been following him for quite some time. He's a wildly annoying Leafs fan, but you can't help but love the guy. He was drinking Molson before this app. This is a recent development that a local brewery stepped up and said, hey, you know, drink our beer, and they made him a beer.
Yep.
And we'll get into that a little bit more in an hour or so.
But he's such a big Leaf fan, we thought, wonder how big. There's a lot of big-time Rider fans here. We'd love to know your nominees at 1-877-332-8255 as we get to the one-minute drill. Day two of Riders practice ahead of the West Final. A lot of the players who didn't participate in yesterday's practice were back on the field with the green and white today, except offensive lineman, the starting left tackle, Trevor Reed, still out with a knee injury. A big return for the Edmonton Oilers tonight. Their captain, Connor McDavid, misses just three games with that ankle injury. The Oilers won two of those three games. They host the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Of course, Ovechkin Watch continues tonight. The Washington Capitals are home to the Nashville Predators. Ovechkin enters the night, 860 goals, 34 shy of Wayne Gretzky. And Ovechkin's starting to pot a lot more goals recently.
He's not going to break the record.
He is, and you're going to be sad. Chicago hosts Detroit in the other NHL action. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, well, it's a battle of the Huskies and the Rams. They lock horns in the Hardy Cup final Saturday at Griffith Stadium. One of the heroes of the dramatic comeback win for the Huskies over the UBC Thunderbirds will relive it next. That's Huskies running back Riker Frank on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you. Of course, a big game for Saskatchewan football fans Saturday in Winnipeg, but there's also a monster game in Saskatoon. An all-Saskatchewan battle for the Hardy Cup this Saturday, Griffith Stadium. A historic matchup as the University of Saskatchewan Huskies face the University of Regina Rams as they square off for Canada West supremacy for the first time since 2002 was the last time they met in the Hardy Cup final. And joining us now for a preview is the running back for the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, Riker Frank, one of the many heroes from that comeback win against the UBC Thunderbirds in Vancouver. So, Riker, start there. Take us through those final moments when you needed a minor miracle to beat the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a crazy game, one of the craziest I've ever been a part of. I mean, just being on that sideline, I mean, personally, I had no doubt. I knew we were going to win. I just didn't know how. And coming down to the last final minutes, I was like, oh, we were kind of a little close here. But and then the guys that need to make plays, they made the plays when they needed to. So that's what counts.
Riker, what is it? This seems to be a common theme with running backs, that you love it when the weather gets a little bit colder and the games get a bit tougher.
Yeah, I mean, as a running back, I think one of the defining features is you got to be tough, right? So when that cold weather comes around, that's when you find out who the real tough guys are.
Is it an attitude thing then with running backs? Like, is this just something you're born with? Have you always been that?
I mean, it is an attitude thing, but at the end of the day, it's also there's also a gameplay aspect to it too, right? You don't want to wear sleeves or anything because then they get slippery on the ball. So we're big no sleeves here at the U of S.
Rams and the Huskies, Riker, have split two games this season. What do you expect to get from the Rams on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, yeah, we've played them twice already, won one, lost one, so. I think there's not going to be very many surprises. We know each other pretty well, and yeah, it's gonna be a good game. Like they're a good defense, and they play a pretty similar defense to a lot of teams in the Can West. But they do it very well, and they have some good players. So. Yeah, it's going to be a good matchup for sure.
Riker Frank is here from the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. Of course, Hardy Cup final at Griffith Stadium this Saturday, a provincial battle going back and forth. The Canada West this season, Riker, as an athlete in Canada West in football, is it like a daily, weekly briefing on how crazy this season has been? Like, do you guys talk about, did you see what happened in with Alberta and Manitoba? This year has been insane.
Yeah, it has, and that's why they call it the Wild West, right? And yeah, I mean, for sure we're watching those games on film and just we're in awe and how some of those end, honestly. And yeah, but that's what also makes it fun at the end of the day too, right? So yeah, couldn't ask for anything else.
Did that, the way the season has gone and a lot of comebacks, did that help instill the confidence in that late game, needing heroics against UBC, that so many teams have already done it this season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and going into every game this year, it was, yeah, we got to lock in because anyone can win. And it's proved time and time again that in the Canada West, anyone can win any game. So it's just a reminder to not take anyone lightly. And, yeah, you got to give it your all every game for sure.
Riker, it's Locker here. Is this provincial rivalry with this year's craziness in the league getting bigger?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, past couple of years, you know, there's been a little bit of misbalance, right? So I think it's good that we're both sitting at the top right now, and I think it'll be good coming this Saturday. You know, it'll attract a lot of fans, get a lot of hype around the game, a lot of energy. And yeah, for sure, I think the rivalry is as strong as ever this year, for sure.
Well, you're a Regina guy. Did you go to Rams games growing up?
Yeah, I am from Regina. I mean, I went to a few. Went to a few Huskies games too, though.
That was a very diplomatic answer. Yeah,
you handled that well. You handled that really well,
Riker. Good juggling.
Right on. Now, of course, this is also your CFL draft year. But how important is a player like Brady Oliveira to show teams, you know, you sports athletes can thrive at the skill positions in the CFL?
Yeah, I mean, it's super important. And yeah, like you said, guys like Brady are doing amazing things. And especially at the running back position, you know, they want to grab up all those Americans and they're great athletes. But there's for sure some Canadians here, too, that can ball out in the CFL for sure.
Riker, how have you changed as an athlete since coming out of high school? And is it more than going sleeveless?
No, I mean, I went sleeveless in high school.
Okay.
For the most part, we got some great coaches. My running back coach at the U of S, Dan Poole, he's set me up for success. He's drilled in. He's a big ball security guy, so I think that's probably the main thing I've taken away from him is just always protecting that rock. And yeah, he's also instilled that, you know, that gritty run style, always leaning forward, always finishing your run. So he's made me a better player for sure. And just the players on the Huskies, being around all those guys and seeing their work ethic and the determination they have has just made me an all-around better person, better athlete.
We had Scott Flory on last week, and he spoke of a halftime, I don't know, Locker, would you describe it? It sounded like a bit of a tirade in the room. He said, I left a little bit of paint on the wall, I think, but not much.
He did allude to, you know, some sort of a meltdown.
But he said that seemed to be a turning point. How necessary was it? You've been around Scott a long time. Was it one of those moments where you're like, oh, okay, you have our attention?
Yeah, Scott, he's the type of coach that's going to tell you what you want, like what needs to be said, whether you want to hear it or not. So, you know, and sometimes that involves a little bit of a punch in the face and just telling us to lock back in. But yeah, no, he helps us out for sure. And he tells us when we need more energy, and if we're not supplying that energy, he's going to supply it for us. So yeah, he helps out a lot for sure.
And final one for you, Riker. Of course, you go back a few years with the Huskies the last couple of seasons. Is there that group? I know a lot of guys have graduated since the 21-22 season that lost to Vanier, but is that younger group that was around, is there still that finish the job attitude from those two disappointments making to the Vanier?
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, there's guys around that were a part of that Vanier team, so it's definitely something that you remember, right? Like, I was there too, so I know me personally, I'm not gonna forget those games for quite some time. So I think there's definitely a little bit of a finish the job mindset, and you know, that's just the standard that we set here at the Huskies. Obviously, last season wasn't up to our standard, so that's something that we talk about often. Is we got to get back to that standard. You know, it should be normal to be in these Hardy Cups and being in these Vanniers. That's just what the Huskies is.
The Rough Riders are talking about that with their opera. Like, don't you never know what your career or anything is going to go. Don't miss this opportunity. This is could be a once in a lifetime moment. As a leader now, as more of a captain of the team, how much do you relay that message on to maybe some of the newer recruits who have come the last two seasons?
It's just instilled in the Husky culture, right? Like we always tell our guys, these are where we should be in these Hardy Cup games. Don't settle for anything less. And yeah, for sure, one thing I always tell my group of running backs is, you know, other teams would love to be playing in this cold weather right now. So just appreciate it, enjoy the moment, and don't take it for granted.
Well, Riker, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck Saturday against the Rams.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Riker Frank, University of Saskatchewan Husky running back, of course, the Hardy Cup final. Griffith Stadium this Saturday, Locker, and as you look out the window, a lot less snow in Saskatoon than there is in the south, and the forecast looks pretty darn good.
Well, on the drive up here this morning, wasn't that bad at all. It was a little tricky around Regina, but Saskatoon looking beautiful today.
Yep. So I hope you didn't slip slide away in the southern half of the province this morning. The central area was a lot less hit by that snow overnight, but the forecast for Saturday's game in Saskatoon, similar to one for the football game in Winnipeg, it's almost too good of weather for this time of year for fall football. It's great for the fans. They're going to be nice and warm on the sidelines watching, but some of those running backs, it's like, come on, the offensive linemen, come on, chill out a little bit.
I will say this. There is something about going to a game in the fall and you got to wear a parka, right? I'm okay with it.
It's a playoff weather in Saskatchewan, yeah. Right? On the prairies, yeah. It's playoff football. But it looks like a great forecast for Saturday's Hardy Cup final. Get in, pack the place, should be loud at Griffith Stadium. Well, there's another update today, Locker, on a story we brought you Monday that went viral over the weekend, and that was the Hulk smash of the cell phone from Jason Kelce at Penn State and the idiot, jabroni, jackwagon, whatever you want to call him, who chased down Jason.
Jackwagon, good. I like that one.
That's a Brad Wallism, the former premier of Saskatchewan, came up with jackwagon, and I love it. First time he said it,
doesn't get used enough.
Exactly. That's the one. That's the one I'm going with. We heard Jason Kelce's apology yesterday after Monday Night Football, and today it was his brother's turn, Travis. Because it was Travis Kelce who Jason was getting beaked about when the cell phone incident happened. This was on New Heights podcast earlier today.
You had some clown come up to you and talk about your family, and you reacted in a way that was defending your family. And you might have used some words that you regret using. And that's a situation that you just got to kind of learn from and own. And I think you owning it and you speaking about it, shows how sincere you are to, a lot of people in this world, and shows that, especially what you said on Monday night, that you choose not to, you don't choose hate. You know, that's just not who you are. Yeah. I love you, brother.
Love you too.
I think you said that perfectly.
There's, Travis Kelce's. There was a lot more on the New Heights podcast about it, but he and Jason spoke to it. And it's one of those things, it's like, okay, we can push that aside, I do believe, now for the Kelce brothers. I think they, especially Jason, handled it the best he could in a moment of passion.
There was a lot of conversation, not just between you and I, but also online on social media about whether or not he should have even apologized. And I think it's fair to say, to highlight the fact that Jason and the Kelce brothers are in a position now in the world that we live in the zeitgeist, that Jason, unfortunately, had to apologize for that, right?
You have to.
It's just the world he lives in.
Coming up here on the Green Zone, he did what? It was one of the craziest catches in football history, and it was made on this day in sports. We'll relive it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
It's up.
Sports history, Locker. Let's go back to November the 6th. It was a Monday night football game. I remember watching it live going, similar reaction to Al Michaels, actually. He did what?
Favre lays it up for Freeman, and it's incomplete. Can he make the catch at the 15? Yeah. What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He did what? It's one of the great calls from Al Michaels when he actually cared. The Antonio Freeman.
That's not fair. He still cares. He's just stuck on Thursday nights now.
Oh, it's Thursday night football. Apparently there's a penalty. Can I get a game worth calling, please? But back in the day, Al was the man on Monday Night Football. Antonio Freeman, Green Bay Packers, in a wet and windy Monday nighter at Lambeau. The ball goes off cornerback Chris Dishman, and the ball bounces off Freeman's shoulder. He's on the ground. He reaches over, grabs the ball. The Vikings defensive back is like, oh, that play's over.
It took 7 minutes for the ball to come down.
Then it took 7 minutes for them to review it. And even the ref, watching that video back,
he was
even
laughing.
The ref's laughing that was a catch. But Antonio Freeman of the Packers on this day in the year 2000.
On this day, November 6th, 1988, Wayne Gretzky became the third player in NHL history to score more than 1,700 points.
Gretzky along the board. Gretzky hanging out of the corner, center of the shot, they score! Wayne Gretzky's 1,700th career point.
Yes, he was all right, Wayne Gretzky, I'd say.
He did okay. Check out his wiki page. It's about 19 pages long of all the records he still holds. He's actually in jeopardy. You're going to get into it here in a minute, but he's in jeopardy of losing one of the records that no one thought anyone would break.
So Wayne Gretzky, third player in NHL history, 1,700 points. Those two happen on this day, November the 6th. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Before we get to the Ovechkin watch, it's McDavid watch, and it's over.
He's back.
He's back in an Edmonton groove. Is that what you're going with that, Locker?
Yeah.
The Oilers have their captain back tonight, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. He missed 3 games. He was supposed to miss 5 to 10 games. He only missed 3 games.
Because he's superhuman.
He is. He is that. So the Oilers take on the Golden Knights tonight. As for Alexander Ovechkin, the Washington Capitals take on the Nashville Predators. Of course, Ovi is on pace to score over 50 goals this season, and he's 34 shy of Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record.
Not going to get it.
Yes, he will. Chicago hosts Detroit tonight in the other NHL game. At Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray has the latest from practice. Most of the players who did not participate in yesterday's practice were on the field with the Riders today, except for offensive lineman Trevor Reed. Looks like he is doubtful for Saturday's game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Coming up next on the Green Zone, he's the man with the X's and O's on TSN. What he likes about the Riders, what he thinks could be their Achilles heel in Saturday's West Final. TSN's Paul LaPolice will be in the zone next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.